And we're going to bring it back to Austin now for a duo called Black Puma, which is Adrian Quesada and Eric Burton. And we're calling this the South by wrap-up show, but there's still so much more music today. We talked about that house show that Ringo Death Star is doing. I mentioned the Lucy's Fried Chicken still has a full
slate. Zolores White are at the Palm d'Or at 9 o'clock tonight. Palm d'Or on 6th.
And tonight at the Continental Club, where you used to always be on Sunday nights to see Alejandro Escovedo close, David Garza has taken over that slot. And he's joined by his friends beginning at 3 today in a benefit for our Sims Foundation, which provides low-cost mental health care to the Austin
Music. It's a wonderful effort, and it's something I'm glad David has been able to keep that going, because it's great for the community and great for all the music that keeps coming together on those Sundays.
Well, it starts at 3 today with our own Matt Hubbard, and on the bill throughout the day, from Nashville, the Grahams, from New York City, Haley Coupon. And then there's the Sims All-Star Band closing the show, and it's pretty dang all-star for Austin, Texas. Ian Moore, Susanna Schofel, Sally Allen, Nakia, Juliana Sheffield, and special guests. And in that mix is Adrian Quesada, and he is the man who is behind groups like Brownout, Grupo Fantasma, Spanish Gold. He is a guy that Prince looked to back up Prince's work. I mean, he's just an amazing producer, guitarist, community member. So you can catch Adrian with the Sims All-Star Band closing the Sims benefit with David Garza and friends tonight at 11. And this is Adrian's latest project, again with vocalist Eric Burton on KUTX. This is Austin's Black Puma with Black Moon Rising.
To do is cool.
David Frick, I wonder what Randy Newman would make of that.
He would probably say, maybe I should have written it that way instead.
That's a band called Starcrawler. Guess where they're from? They love L.A., and that's from their debut album. And they will be touring with New York's Uni, who we heard from earlier in this program. Both bands with one foot in glam, a little grungy, and who are making some amazing psychedelic videos. I usually don't point to videos, especially on the radio, but these videos are worth watching.
Sometimes YouTube does bear out rewards. I try not to spend too much time there, but every once in a while you can see a little something that actually encourages you to go see a gig.
And that's what happened with me and Starcrawler. Our program director, Matt Riley, sent me the video. I loved it. And then I heard the band Starcrawler and Uni will tour the U.S. real soon. Matter of fact, I think it starts later this month. And Austin's Black Pumas, the first single from the duo, is called Black Moon Rising. Adrian Quesada and Eric Burton. And as I mentioned, David Garza and friends begin at 3 today at the Continental Club, a benefit for the Sims Foundation. And closing the show, the Sims All-Star Band will include Ian Moore, Sally Allen, Susanna Schofel, Adrian Quesada, Nakia, and so many others. David Frick is with me, as he has been for, well, this is year 6 on KUTX. And David, you come to town for South by Southwest to cover for Rolling Stone and to do other things, but inevitably you're up there on a panel. We did one together in 2015 for Ian McClagan, and your panel this year was?
It was about CBGB and the late 70s in New York. You know, what did it mean? What is the resonance now? What lessons can we learn from that? It was the first time I've moderated a panel. I tend not to want to be the center of attention, but Chris Stamey of the DBs and the Big Star Third touring production, so many great solo records, he asked me if I would do it, and it was an honor to be asked. It's a subject I love. So I was up there with Chris, Chris France and Tina Weymouth of Talking Heads, Richard Lloyd, guitarist in Television, and Julia Gorton, a wonderful photographer whose images of CBGB's, Max's, the no wave scene in the late 70s and early 80s are a seminal visual account of what was happening in the city. We were up there for an hour. They told remarkable stories, and some of those stories you can actually read. Richard Lloyd has a new memoir called Everything is Combustible, Television, CBGB's, and 5 Decades of Rock and Roll. It's hilarious. It's also harrowing. You learn a lot. He talks about the beginnings of Television at CB's, meeting Hilly Crystal. He talks about his adventures with Jimi Hendrix. The time Lou Reed tried to tape a Television show at CBGB and got caught. Very funny story. And Chris Stamey has a book called A Spy in the House of Loud, New York Songs and Stories, that has just come out. He was doing a book signing actually after our panel. And it's a really... it's a highly recommended read about New York from his perspective, coming up from North Carolina, working with Alex Chilton, hanging out with people at New York Rocker. So you get a real full picture of how vital New York was in the late 70s and early 80s. It was a great panel.
So represented on that panel, as you said, a member of Television, the rhythm section of Talking Heads, from the DB's Chris Stamey, and we're not even getting into the Ramones and Blondie and Patti Smith. And
they all came up in the discussion, but it was just having those people up there, and they had wonderful stories and also some pretty hard lessons that, you know, people really need to hear. Tina was talking about having a day job where she worked at Henri Bendel, which was the high end sort of like fashion store, you know, making money to help, you know, pay rent and keep the band going. And as she pointed out, she was also making less than all the other guys in the store. Mm. So, you know, it's
pay gap.
Yeah, the pay gap was definitely happening in New York in the late 70s.
Another thing I find heartening is that not all of those bands found commercial success at that time. Especially
history had its verdict later.
Exactly. When it comes to the Ramones, especially, and when it comes to Television, Marquee Moon was not a record that especially sold well at the time. But here we are, more than 40 years later. KUTX plays this record regularly. It is a benchmark in rock and roll music. It is Television.
But I was
one of the great opening lines of a record ever. Let me take you to the empty place in my fire engine, Rocky Erickson and the 13th Floor Elevators, from the psychedelic sounds of the 13th Floor Elevators. Rocky was at Auditorium Shores last night, and also Fire Engine was a song that Television covered regularly in their club shows in the mid and late 70s. We also heard Television See No Evil from Marquee Moon to bring us around to this CBGB panel that I got to moderate.
And you chose a DBs song to continue with. And when I think of the DBs, Chris Stamey, Peter Holsapple, I don't think of CBGB.
Well, they sort of jumped the fence because they really came out of North Carolina, and their records were actually made and originally released in England. But Chris and Peter Holsapple, the whole band, those guys were fermented at CBGB in that whole scene. Chris was hanging out at New York Rocker, Peter Holsapple as well. And in fact, the DBs did a lot of their early demos in the New York Rocker office. You can actually hear them on a compilation, but the DBs are very much steeped in CBGBs, even though they didn't always play there.
Bear Wear her tattoos and her chains. Wrap around her body, there are written all her names. The prisons she's been in, and lovers she has seen. Good women bumping around in motorcycle Irene. Ground around like hamburger, laying in a splat. Tis Irene, her sheen I see, in pieces crumpled flat. Her feet were in the bushes, her toes were in her hat. Start waving an unshaven motorcycle Irene. The hunchback, the cripple, horseman and the fool. Their books and candles and carpet clothes and rules. No answers, breaking all the rules. The stark naked, unsacred motorcycle I read. Woo! Yeah!
KUTX, it's our South by Southwest wrap-up show, year six. David Frick of Rolling Stone and Sirius XM here with me, Jody Denberg. And what we like to do in our lives is turn people on to music, and we like to be turned on to music. And that's what happens during South by in both directions. David was the moderator for a panel on CBGB, and we came out of some conversation about that with the DBs, Cycles Per Second from the album Stands for Decibels. One of the great lost bands that maybe hasn't quite gotten its due the way television has posthumously.
Well, they made some wonderful records, and for some reason they couldn't get an American record deal originally, and it really wasn't until Chris left the group that they ended up getting a deal with Bearsville, and Peter Holsapple sort of, you know, took over the reins. But the two albums they made in England, including Stands for Decibels, are really classic. Experimental power pop, as you can hear from Cycles Per Second. That's not just, you know, taking up the mantle from Badfinger and the Raspberries. That's a very that's almost like an avant-garde pop track. And I think the DBs, they are kind of underrated, and there's a lot of great stuff about the band and what they went through and how Chris wrote a lot of songs in his memoir A Spy in the House of Loud.
And we went from Cycles Per Second into Motorcycle Irene from Moby Grape.
Our annual Moby Grape song. I can't not do this. They are the greatest underrated band in the world.
I was just going to say a little inside show business. In David Frick's rider, it does state that we must play a Moby Grape song during each annual South by wrap-up show, which I'm game for because it wasn't a band that I came up with. So I'm not familiar with them beyond like Omaha and things of that nature. And the song we played, Motorcycle Irene.
Written and sung by Skip Spence.
And from the album Wow.
Wow.
And then it was a group that you had in your little stack of advance records.
It's actually a record I take with me on the road because it's great listening fun, particularly in a car if I've got a rental car. The band is called Soraya from Philadelphia, S-O-R-A-I-A. And the singer is a woman named Zuzu Mansour. And both live and on record, just imagine if Joan Jett had really wanted to be Janis Joplin. Mm. That's what you get. The album is called Dead Reckoning. It's on Little Steven's Wicked Cool label. He actually co-produced a couple of tracks on it, and that's a song called Monster.
We started this morning at 10 a.m. The first song we played was from Blaze Foley, and the film about Blaze was screened during South by Southwest. I saw a film this week that wasn't part of South by Southwest film, but I wish that it was. It was called Besides Bowie or Beside Bowie?
Besides Bowie.
Besides Bowie. And it was a documentary about...
Beside Bowie, because that's exactly where Mick Ronson was, the subject.
Right, Beside Bowie. And yes, a movie about Mick Ronson. And it gave me another perspective on David Bowie just when I thought I couldn't have another one. Because in the movie, it shows how in the early years of David Bowie, he was a folky. He had this burlesque sort of theatrical thing happening.
Well, he had roots in mime with Lindsay Kemp, so he's, you know, he was in a very theatrical way, but not in a rock and roll way. He kept looking for something to connect with. He tried folk, he was pop, he was doing art pop. His first album was almost like this kind of weird Sgt. Pepper takeoff. And then he met this guy, Mick Ronson from Hull, in the Midlands, you know, real sort of like meat and potatoes type of cat, but with a guitar style that just revolutionized British rock as soon as he started playing with David. And people think of him, oh, Spiders from Mars. No, start with The Man Who Sold the World, which is essentially the Spiders from Mars as the band with Tony Visconti on bass.
And it just gave me this whole new appreciation for David, and especially for Mick, who, of course, I always liked. I loved his work on the Hunter Ronson stuff, the first Ian Hunter solo record. Mick Ronson, rest his soul. I had him on the airwaves about 30 years ago. In retrospect, now you realize how heavy that was. I was a fan. But again, I just want to recommend this movie to everyone beside Bowie. And as we're wrapping up South by Southwest, I'm not a fan of musicians who write about being a musician. Pete Townsend has done some attempts at that somewhere.
And
goods.
Ian Hunter is one of the best at it.
He is the best
You know, all the way to Memphis, you know, my six-string razor, whatever. You know,
the Ballad of Mott.
He wrote about the life from the perspective of someone who knew not just the highs, but could actually depict the lows and the lessons in those lows. And, you know, he also wrote one of the first rock memoirs. He actually did Diary of a Rockstar in the 70s when he was still in Mott the Hoople. So he was able to really put that in perspective in a way that I think really has been borne out through his catalog. There was a giant box set that came out about a year ago of like 30 CDs and DVDs and whatnot. And and that doesn't even include the Mott the Hoople stuff. This was just solo work. And it's just it shows what an amazing body of work he had. And when you get to the Mick Ronson period with Ian, and also the period that Mick was in Mott the Hoople, you realize that Mick Ronson was one of those guys who was a star by not being a star. He was the ultimate side guy who was there to support and bring that extra level of musicianship and expression to make the other guy look good, but also knowing that without what he was doing, the other guy wasn't going to be as good.
Bingo. Recommend the film to everybody. It's called Beside Bowie. And this is Mick Ronson's contribution.
His only studio appearance with Mott the Hoople. He was in the band for about 5 minutes, and then he and Ian went off and did their own thing.
And a perfect anthem to wrap up South by Southwest.
Float up to the roundhouse on a Sunday afternoon. In 17, we all agree a King's Road flat was a place to be, 'cause Chelsea girls are the best in the world for company. In 71, all the people come, lost a few seats, but it's just in fun. Take the mic out of Top of the Pops, we play better than they do. In 72 was born to lose, we slipped down stakes into yesterday's news. I was ready to quit, but then we went to suits and the platform boots.
Oh dear, oh God, oh my God.
And 74 on the Broadway tour, we didn't much like dressing up no more. Don't wanna be here, but thanks for a great trip.
Do you remember the Saturday gigs? We do, we do. Do you remember the Saturday gigs? We do. We're
an amazing band called Jaguar on KUTX, the South by Southwest wrap-up show, wrapping up. Lunatic is from the album Ring Thing. David, I played them on my Southwest preview show, South by Southwest preview show, but it wasn't that song. I didn't get to see the band when they were here, but that's a great record.
It's a great record. It's something that I've actually been playing on my show on the Writer's Block on Sirius XM, and it was just a record that flew in over the transom, and I popped it on, and I just went, I need a piece of this. They're from Berlin. It's a trio. Christoph Krenkel on drums, Lemmy Fischer on vocals and guitars, and a young woman named Oyemi Noyes on vocals and bass. The record is called Ring Thing. It's their first album after a couple of EPs, and they played at a place called the Iron Bear over on West Something Street. They were really, really good. It was one of those places where I don't think they have bands very often. The sound mix was a little dodgy, and, you know, the decor was just kind of strange. But, man, they killed it, and I'm glad we got a chance to share it with your audience today.
And in honor of the great Mick Ronson, we heard Mott the Hoople and the only studio contribution Mick made to Mott's catalog. Saturday Gigs seemed like a perfect place to wind this down because, as I mentioned, I just saw the Mick Ronson documentary Beside Bowie. It was 2007 that you and I spent an afternoon with Ian Hunter before he did a free show at Auditorium Shores for South by Southwest. And Saturday Gigs, that kind of sums it all up. From the thing about Ian Hunter is he wrote from the fan's perspective and the rock star perspective.
That's actually a song about missing the greatness, missing the fun, and missing your friends. You know, do you remember the Saturday Gigs? It's in the past tense. It's actually a song about growing old at a point when everyone who was listening to that record was probably still in their late teens.
You got to see this movie, Beside Bowie, for Mick Ronson. See it for Mick and see it about Mick. I'm Jody Denberg, and this is the sixth year in a row that we've done the South by Southwest wrap-up show with myself and David Frick on KUTX, and we had a few years before that as well. And David Frick, as you know, a senior writer for Rolling Stone, a contributor to Mojo Magazine. He's the host of The Writer's Block on Sirius XM. That airs on Thursday nights at 8 on the Spectrum Channel 28. And on Friday nights, he has a program on Tom Petty Radio called Friday Night Affair. And David, even though you and I are friends, I also have a relationship with you through your professional work. And after Tom Petty passed away, and I got the issue of Rolling Stone with Tom on the cover, I sat down to read that article. It was very emotional, and you did it. And it's not the first time that you've had to write about people who've passed away. And my friend, you do it so eloquently. And it was really the first time I think that the other Heartbreakers had spoken on the record about Tom's passing. And as a fan and a friend, I just wanted to thank you for that piece and ask you a little bit about the background.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That was tough. They're all tough. Chris Cornell was tough. I can't even begin to think of the list. But one of the things that with Tom, I had gotten to interview him a lot. We'd had a good professional relationship, I thought, and actually one that would be, you know, it would sort of saunter over into, hey, what are you listening to? And, oh, what about this Zombies record that we all love? And when Tom launched Tom Petty Radio on Sirius XM in November of 2016, apparently I was the first live DJ he wanted on the air. You know, they were doing regular, you know, programming and playing the tracks, but he wanted someone to host. And so they asked me. I started the Friday Affair shortly.